Knuckles was lifted off his feet by the force of the blast. The shot struck him at point-blank range, the concentrated pellets of lead driving into the center of his chest with devastating power. For Ryan and the others, watching from 50 feet higher up the hill, it was as though a giant hand had pushed its way straight through Knuckles' body. A great spray of blood and flesh erupted from between the lad's deformed shoulders, bursting black upon the fallen snow. He spun with a bizarre balletic elegance, more graceful in his dying than he had ever been in his life.
Got the trip!
Woo-hoo! Bitch.
Let's go get the other three. Right now.
Christy let go of the patterned butt of the .22 caliber pistol, feeling blood and saliva trickling across her hand. The revolver dropped to the floor, bouncing, and then lying still by her boots.
What the fuck have you done? What?
Christy had already moved out of range of the longsword. Dean and Mildred stood together, close to the door into the room.
You should have kept your word.
Christy looked at the others.
Get ready to run for it. Don't wait.
Nelson sat suddenly on the floor, like a dozen sacks of coal being dumped at once. The saber clattered away from him, but he ignored the weapon. He was exploring the inside of his mouth, like someone with a severe toothache.
You done something bad. Something inside my brain. Feels something leaking in my head.
Mildred stepped closer, kneeling to stare closely at the wounded colossus.
Hemorrhage from someplace behind the roof of his mouth. He's bleeding from the ears and eyes as well.
What's that mean? Could get his blaster and chill him real easy. Want me to do that, Christy?
No, but you can drag the old woman's body out of the fire. Get that vase from the table and pour the water on her. Put out the flames, Dean.
The boy went immediately, helped by Mildred, and tugged the Dowager's corpse away by the ankles. The cold water hissed and spat on her charred flesh. But the smoke diminished, and the stench became a little less vile. Alfred Nelson took no notice of them. He'd slithered down until he was lying flat on his back, both hands clasping his cheeks. More and more blood seeped between his fingers, and his eyes had become dark crimson orbs. He tried to speak, but was no longer making any kind of sense.
Tomorrow's another now. Your answer due. He's gone. Gone. Always gone.
He's nearly done. It's only a matter of time before the Sekhmen come calling. Ryan will be here by dawn. We'd best find a place to hole up until then, I guess.
Jim Jennison, Julio, and 20 Gooseneck had three knives and a single pump-action scattergun between them. Ryan made Michael go back onto the road, out of danger.
I want to get them.
Then you need a blaster. Not now. Doc?
Yes?
Stay here near the top. Watch for any of them trying to break around us and get to the horses. Don't hesitate to chill them.
Worry not on that score, my friend.
It was easy. The three survivors were hardened killers, but they had no chance against Ryan and JB. Their experience of ambushes and firefights, combined with their overwhelming superiority in weapons, meant that Jennison and the others were dead meat. Ryan edged around to the right, while JB took the left. They kept cover between themselves, and where they'd last spotted Jennison with a 12-gauge.
Ryan.
What?
Sure you want them chilled?
Damned right. It's too late to try and barter them with Nelson. Just take them out and leave the place a little cleaner.
Julio made his break first, running and tumbling down the slope, hoping to make it into the brush beside the water. Julio went down like a brain-dead rabbit. Jennison retaliated by pumping out three blind rounds from the shotgun, but Ryan and JB were well hidden. The mutie, 20 Gooseneck, nearly took them by surprise. Instead of trying to escape, he came straight at them, his arms waving, clutching a butcher's cleaver, his mouth wide open in a scream of hatred. Ryan was still holding the stire, and the sudden charge by the web-fingered mutie caught him cold. He snapped off a shot, but had missed by several inches. JB opened up with the Uzi, but the trees that sheltered them from Jennison
also protected Gooseneck from his fire. He was too fast for Ryan to be able to level the Stire for a second shot, so Ryan waited for a heartbeat or two, holding the rifle at the high port. As Gooseneck closed with him, swinging back the cleaver to split Ryan from throat to groin, Ryan whipped the butt of the blaster around in a short, vicious arc. The walnut stock impacted with Gooseneck's chin, splitting the bone and separating upper and lower jaws. Teeth cracked and tumbled out on a tsunami of bright blood. The mutie staggered backward, barely keeping his balance, the cleaver falling into the trampled and bloodied snow. JB took him out with two rounds through the chest. The clearing was still, virtually silent. JB unslung the Smith & Wesson M4000, glancing across at Ryan.
This part of it's mine, understand?
Sure. I'm just here to cover you.
Hell, I know that. Come on out, Jennison. It's all over, all done.
Fuck you, brother. You come down here and take me.
I intend to. And I'm not your brother, Jennison, for the last time.
Ryan watched, the Stire at his shoulder, conscious of Michael and Doc behind him at the top of the slope. JB climbed down with a wonderful delicacy and economy of movement, carefully placing one boot in front of the other, keeping his balance, steadying himself before taking another step, always keeping the trees between him and his waiting half-brother. Jennison's nerve finally cracked.
Here!
He threw out the pump-action shotgun so that it landed near the wag.
I'm coming out, John! Don't shoot!
Blaster empty, is it?
Fuck you! Here I am, brother.
Ryan steadied the laser-enhanced scope on the pale, short figure. Jennison had his hands raised, his squinting eyes fixed on J.B. Dix. For a fleeting moment, Ryan had the illusion that it was J.B. who filled the scope sight on his rifle.
Drop the knife right now, Jennison.
Knife, brother?
Ryan had known John Barrymore Dix for a dozen years, knew him better than he'd ever known anyone in his life. He had a flash of what was going to happen, certain in his heart.
What knife, brother?
It doesn't matter, brother. It doesn't matter.
Jesus.
Rick Coburn's slitted eyes showed no emotion at all. He stood on the balcony outside the main dining room of Vistaville, the first faltering light of the false dawn striking the left side of his face.
The time's nearly up for Ryan Carter to complete his part of the deal.
How can you say that, knowing what you know?
How's that, lady? I know the Baron's dead. Know you admit to chilling him with his mother's little toy blaster. And she's dead, too. Face burned away. You say that none of this is really your fault. Not really your fault, lady?
It's not! You're triple stoop if you don't see that, sick man!
Now how do you figure that out, boy?
You were straight with us over the past 10 days, but you were wrong, Coburn. Wrong about your Baron. He wasn't going to keep his word. Why do you think he died?
Because someone put a bullet through the roof of his mouth into his brain. Baron must have been kneeling for anyone to do that.
Bending forward.
Same difference. Tell you the truth, I figured that Carter might pull it off. Might bring Sidler back. Maybe some of his gang of killers.
There was a silence while everyone considered the implications. Dawn. Dawn on the last day, and no Ryan. Christy moved to stand directly in front of the tall sec man, matching him for height.
You're going to try for Baron, aren't you?
You a seer, Christy? Or a doomy? I haven't breathed a word to anyone.
I just felt it, Coburn. Why not? It seems to me you have more honesty than 9/10 of the Barons I ever heard about.
But that doesn't solve the problem of you. You two women and the boy.
Let us go!
Can't.
Why?
You killed Nelson. The whole Ville will know that. They'll make an allowance for the way he acted, I can see to that. But it still means paying a blood price. Sec-man's supposed to do something when his Baron gets chilled. I have to do something.
What and when?
Mildred looked out across the snowy land, already tinted pink by the spreading light of the sun.
Don't know. Hey, look at that. Heaven of a morning. Stuff that dreams are made of.
We are such stuff as dreams are made on, and our little life is rounded with a sleep. I thought that Diego and the poor lad, Knuckles, might appreciate it being said over them.
Capistrano had broken his neck falling out of the wag, an instant and merciful passing. Now he and